Blog Talk Radio.
For three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game! Christian Watford with a three!
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana. Yeah, we do it big. Boston on the big time. You know what it is.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call as Indiana wins a rather uninspiring game tonight, 79-66 over Nicholls State. As the announcers mentioned at the end of the game, it was finals week, and it certainly was a game that reflected that reality. Indiana started out sluggish. They kind of ended sluggish, as I tweeted out. Early in the game, you know, this is the type of game where you don't judge the team by the beginning or the end of the game because you knew this was going to be a sluggish game. You judge them by the middle. And certainly Indiana's best efforts were there in the middle 20 minutes. Towards the end of the second half and the beginning of the second half, the Hoosiers were able to put a couple of nice stretches together that ended up amounting to that 13-point, final lead over Nicholls State. In fact, Nicholls State actually outscored Indiana 44-42 in the second half. I'm here with Ryan Phillips. We're going to talk about this game. I don't think Andy Bottoms is joining us tonight, although we will see. We will spend a little bit of time talking about this game, but I'm just going to tell you right now, we're not going to linger on it because it's one of those games that I just don't think you learn a lot from, but we'll break it down. And then we'll talk a little bit about the biggest story from this week, which is the announcement of the Assembly Call renovations, the renaming of the arena, all that stuff. Sounds like Ryan and I may have some different opinions on that, so we'll talk about that a little bit as we go through. If you want to call tonight, 646-716-6360 is the number. We don't have call screeners, so we'll just put you on the air, and hopefully you have something interesting to say. If you have questions, feel free to tweet them to us at Assembly Call. We're already getting a couple of those in, so we will definitely get to those as we go. Let's see. We always start out the show with a banner moment. In terms of tonight's banner moment, for me, the most impressive part of tonight's game was simply the fact that coming off of a tough loss to Notre Dame, the leaders stepped up tonight. This was not a game where any of the freshmen really came through big. This was a game where the quote-unquote experienced guys, if we're allowed to count sophomores Yogi Ferrell and Jeremy Hollowell among the experienced guys, where they stepped up and led this team. Yogi had 16 points. Jeremy Hollowell and Will Sheehy had 14. And they were the catalyst. You know, each one of those guys shot 50% or greater from the field. Each one of those guys was active and did some good things. Yogi had 8 assists and was certainly this team's best player. So for me, that's the most important thing, because if this team is going to do anything, it's going to be those three guys that lead us. I mean, like, you know, Noah obviously is the most talented player. But this whole notion that they talked about of him being a finished product when he got to Indiana, we all love Noah. We know he's far from a finished product. He's a very talented player, but he's got a long way to go. And so the guys that are going to win games for us come Big Ten season, when we're going into those tough arenas, are going to be those three guys, Yogi, Jeremy, and Will. And so to me, it was encouraging that they stepped up tonight, had good games, and it was a 13-point win, but whatever, it's a win, we'll take it. And we move forward. With that said, let me bring in my co-host tonight, Ryan Phillips, and he can regale you with his rant from tonight's IU victory.
I thought that it was a interesting game. I mean, really more of about a 20-point win
And then it got closer towards the end when both teams were playing a bit of Ole defense, and the Hooters kept turning the ball over with their backups in there. But I thought Yoyi played extremely well for most of the game, and I thought he was definitely deserved the rant of the evening. I thought that he just was all over the place, playing well, and when he gets in a rhythm, he really shows that he's one of the best point guards in the country. And we've seen him struggle at times this year, almost trying to do too much. And I thought tonight he kept it simple, move the ball around, reversals, you know, getting into the open guy, but not forcing anything. And, you know, he probably could have had, I'd say, maybe four or five more assists if guys had caught the ball when they were supposed to, instead of fumbling it around and maybe eventually picking it up. But I thought that was really what drove us, and I thought that, I mean, like you said, it was an up-and-down game, and that kind of happens at this time of the year. It's almost like the dog days of summer in baseball where you just got to get through them because it's the end of the semester, it's finals week, no students in town, things like that. It's, you know, not the easiest game to get up for, and we're probably going to see the same thing on Sunday. But it was nice for them just to slug it out, get out to a nice about a 20-point lead, and then just kind of play out the string and really ramp things up for Big Ten season.
I use academic advisor Marnie Mooney tweeted out earlier today that today was the finite final, which immediately sent shivers down my spine, remembering that from my freshman year. I'm wondering if we can attribute some of the struggles of IU's freshmen, Noah and Troy in particular, to having taken the finite final this morning.
Quite possible. I never had, as being that I was a transfer, I never had to deal with that misery. So, but I heard about it all the time. I didn't get the full IU experience, according to some people.
No, you didn't.
So,
You're not really in a lull, Ryan.
I know. I was past that when I arrived, apparently. So, never had to deal with that. But, yes, I have heard the stories and tales of woe. And, you know, it's funny when people recount that, they make it sound like a World War II battle somewhere in the Pacific when they recount their stories of the finite final. So I've always enjoyed those.
It's close to that. Just trust me. And you weren't there, so you can't dispute me. So you're just going to have to go.
You're right. I absolutely cannot. I have to trust you.
Okay, so now, here's something that might even be more scary than reminiscing about the finite final, which is looking at the box score. And, you know, a couple numbers are good. Indiana shot 54% from the field. You would expect that against a team like Nicholls State that can't really play any defense. You know, I mean, we shot 35 free throws, which is good and to be expected. But there's a pretty terrifying number there. Actually, to me, there's two terrifying numbers. I want to address both of these. Unfortunately, they actually fit in with the two Twitter questions that we've gotten. So the first one is our buddy at HoosierHoops23 asked us, why can't we cut back on our turnovers? Ryan, we turned the ball over 20 times tonight. That is a season high for us. Now, I realize that, again, we can attribute some of that to just, you know, the lack of focus. It's finals week, you know, and I mean, shoot, 8 of those turnovers happened in the first 8-9 minutes of the game. But still, this is an issue with this team, you know, and Stephen Bardo said something during the game, you know, about how, well, when this team starts cutting back on turnovers in the Big Ten, and I'm thinking to myself, has he watched Indiana play over the, you know, since Crean took over? I mean, for all the great things that Crean does and the great things his teams do, they turn the ball over a lot. And, you know, when you combine that style of play with the youth that we have, I'm pretty sure we're going to keep turning the ball over. So, you know, to me, that was one of the disappointing things tonight. And again, I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock into it just because of who the opponent was and the timing of the game, but it's a little concerning to see a 20 in the turnover category, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get over 15, it's definitely concerning. Really over, I mean, Bickler, I'd say over 12. But with the amount of possessions that Indiana has and the speed at which they play under Crean, it's all, you know, 15 is probably a more accurate, you know, measuring stick. When you play fast, you're going to have turnovers. And especially when you have a young team playing fast, because they make mistakes. They don't make decisions quickly enough. Their timing isn't there as far as knowing when to pass, knowing what to do with the basketball. And you know, they play just – it's one of those things where their bodies are playing faster than their minds, and it's going to happen. That's not really an excuse. It's just a fact. And I think over the last few years we've seen it really a more – accurate measure of where Indiana stands as far as turnovers go isn't the bottom line number. It's, you know, turnovers per possession. Kind of, it's one of those metrics is more indicative, just because they do get a lot of possessions and they do run fast and they move the ball, and so it really, yeah, anytime you get over 15, that's concerning, and I can guarantee you that Coach Green is not happy about it. But like you said, there are a lot of factors going into this game that made that probably almost a inevitability with finals, and apparently reports are they had a really tough week of practice after the Notre Dame loss. So I think that, you know, they're probably just worn out right now and probably need that break they're going to get really soon. And, you know, with so many young guys, of course, playing so many intense games close together is really tough on the body, and they need that week before Big Ten season to start just to relax and sort of rejuvenate a little bit. And so we'll see. Again, he's right, though. If they cut back on turnovers, it's a dangerous team. The question is, will they and can they? And so we'll have to see as we move forward. That's definitely something to watch throughout the season.
Well, and that's the concern to me, is that this, you know, for all the strides this program has made, that's been one thing that we constantly end up harping on is turnovers. You know, and to put what you said into perspective, you're right. The cumulative total of turnovers isn't the important number. The important number is the percentage. Indiana turned the ball over on almost 30% of their possessions tonight, 29.4%. And, you know, it's funny looking at the advanced stats, because we scored 1.16 points per possession, effective field goal percentage of 60%. So, I mean, there's some good things on offense, but then, you know, we just shot ourselves in the foot with the possessions we gave away. So, you know, I mean, you know, again, to answer the question, who's Hoops 23, why can't we cut back on our turnovers? The style of play in the youth right now. Those are the two reasons. And, you know, the style of play isn't going to change, and you have to hope that as the youth turns into a little bit more experience, as these freshmen turn into sophomores, as the cliche goes, that the turnovers start to go down some. You know, we're never going to lead the Big Ten in that, you know, but at least if we can get it to a reasonable level, you know, then hopefully we can do some things on offense. Now, here's the other big question tonight, and this may be the last question that we ask about tonight's game, because I really don't feel like there's a reason to dwell on it too much, but, you know, Ryan, I'm looking at the box score right now, and I can barely keep it within my browser window because so many guys played tonight. And that's our other question here that we've gotten so far on Twitter from at PoohC20, Josh Closser, that's POOHC20. Why do we sub so much? Can't we get an offensive flow? And, you know, normally you would just say, well, look at the opponent. This is a game where you want to get everybody in there, you know, let everybody play, and certainly that happened tonight. But it's a, you know, you have to analyze it a little bit differently tonight in light of the comment that Tom Crean made after the Notre Dame game, where he talked about, you know, some guys are playing too many minutes, some guys are playing too few, you know, kind of led to believe that we're going to start tightening up the rotation a little bit. That didn't happen tonight. You know, I'm certainly not going to, and Andy even mentioned this in a couple texts that he sent to me, you know, about the rotation, you know, not really tightening up. And I'm not going to overreact to it just because of who the opponent was. You know, we're really going to learn who's in the rotation, who's not, at Illinois come December 31st. But what did you take, if anything, from the substitution patterns tonight and from how many guys played?
I think for the most part, he was just trying to get a lot of those guys really, I think this game and the next game are their auditions to see if they belong in the lineup. I mean, you saw Colin Hartman get in there. You saw, you know, he and Austin Etherington were subbed for each other a few times, trying to see if they can get a shooter going. And then, you know, the guys like Taylor Ware, Johnny Martin, and Jeff Howard getting in there. I think that was just sort of, hey, can these guys actually be in the rotation? Let's give them a shot here, see what they do. And I don't really have a problem with that. Again, like you said, with who the opponent is and things like that, where we should start looking at that is when the Big Ten starts. I think this week of practice and these two games is sort of like everybody's audition and to see if they belong in the lineup. So that's really what I'm concerned about. I don't have a problem with these guys getting in a home game where we're up 20 and, you know, mixing it up a little bit. I do think the rotation is going to shrink a little, and I think you'll see guys like Troy Williams, who really hasn't played well the last couple of games. You're going to start seeing him lose time to Stan Robinson, who I think is really stepping up. You'll start to see some of those interchangeable pieces sort of start to replace each other, and we'll see what happens moving forward. I really don't think it's important to focus on that until Big Ten season starts.
Although, and you know, what you just say is important, and this is the other topic of conversation that I was seeing on Twitter tonight, is Troy. You know, does he even have an offensive role on this team right now? I mean, it's been, you know, so long since he's really contributed on offense. You know, he had 5 points today. He had one, you know, I think it was a putback bucket, or maybe it was just a I think he was just around the bucket and got a pass, you know, but he's really not able to get in the flow. And here's two things that maybe you can take from tonight's game in terms of the rotation. You mentioned one. You know, Stan Robinson is outperforming Troy Williams, and you're absolutely right. If Troy doesn't start playing, I think Stan is the guy who takes some of those minutes. You know, and I think, and I tweeted this out, that, you know, Troy needs to go back and look at film of freshman Victor Oladipo and learn how to produce before you're ready. You know, because Victor, you know, for all of his athletic gifts from a basketball standpoint, looked lost a lot playing his freshman year. But he showed those flashes, you know. He found ways to produce through effort, through defense, through rebounding, through garbage buckets. That's the kind of stuff Troy Williams needs to do. If he does it, he can carve out a role in this team. If he doesn't, I think you're right, Stan Robinson starts taking those minutes. Here's the other thing that I thought was interesting tonight is Luke Fisher was the first big man off the bench. And this comes on the heels of Tom Crean saying it on his radio show that he wanted to get Hunter Mascara-Perea more minutes. So I thought that was interesting. But then when Hunter got in there, he was more productive. He had 5 points, five boards. He had a big dunk. He had a block shot. He was active. You know, Luke, I thought, tried, but the production wasn't there. You know, he had 2 points, didn't get a lot of production otherwise. You know, there were some times where I thought he actually did a good job of getting position in the post and just couldn't get a pass. But, you know, the team isn't always adept at making the pass. So that's the other one that I found interesting. What do you see, if anything, shaking out between those two guys, or is it just going to be one of those things that's almost a week-to-week basis?
Well, I think Hunter definitely got more minutes. I haven't seen the statistics yet on that. But I thought he got in there, and I thought he really
and he earned them.
And he played well. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he earned those, you know, with his play over the last 2 weeks. Even it had nothing to do with tonight. But, yeah, he got in there, mixed it up. He had, you know, a lot of people complain about his hands, which is, again, just getting used to the speed of the game and everything. And, you know, he fumbled a great pass at one point and lost it. But he also, you know, had a block. He got himself to the line a few times, had a dunk, like you said. I think he's one of those guys that just he affects shots enough on defense and rebounds well, so he's going to get his minutes. I thought Luke Fisher looked kind of soft tonight. I thought he made a nice, on his basket, he made a nice quick drive to the hoop. He got the ball, didn't think about it, and just went in. But other than that, I just didn't see much from him. But I think that in the situation when Vonley came out, I think Vonley came out for Fisher initially. I might be wrong on that, but when he first came in, he was a little timid. Then he finally got a post play and scored and looked okay. But then after that, I didn't think he really established himself. And so I think that the Hunter has to be your second option in the post off the bench. And they also had Vonley and Hunter playing together for a while. And I thought that lineup looked pretty good, especially on defense.
You mentioned something early to me today, and we will make this the last question about the game before we move on to talk about the arena stuff. You mentioned something to me when we were texting during the game about you like the press. You know, Indiana picked up full court, did some three-quarter court press tonight, and really when they made their run, you know, early in the second half, late in the first half, you know, that press keyed it. And I thought, especially in the second half, they came out, the energy was there. You know, we first moved to the press in the first half, you know, with our feet in quicksand. You know, we had Holiday Finals feet. You know, it wasn't very effective. But I thought in spurts it was good. Is that something that you want to see from this team? I mean, is this team capable of being a good I know we have the athletes, but do we have the, you know, the focus, the fortitude to be a team that can press for extended periods of time?
I think that this team has the ability to do it. There are two questions, and one of them is fouling. You know, with the new hand check rules, they have to make sure they're not just getting in ridiculous foul trouble. But the other is also just getting back. You know, if a press breaks, you've got to get back in an instant. You can't wait to see if it really got broken. You have to have the focus to immediately just bust your butt and get back on defense. I think this team has the ability to do that. I'm not sure if they're there yet. But with the athleticism on this team, running a press with someone like Troy Williams or Stan Robinson or even Jeremy Hollowell at the top of it, you know, I mean, with their reach and length and everything, that could be deadly. And it also will get teams playing faster against us. And it seems like when teams play slow and are effective that way, that really gets IU out of its game. And so I think that could be really beneficial. I thought it was really a positive, at least to try it out. Like you said, I think early it was just kind of awkward. I don't necessarily think it was slow or anything. I just think that they weren't used to it. They weren't. I think they first introduced it just to kind of give a different look, and as it went on, they started getting more aggressive with it. So, yeah, I would really like to see them do that and be more aggressive defensively. Since they're trying to be so aggressive offensively, it kind of makes sense to sort of match those systems.
Okay, well, Indiana wins tonight, 79-66, 9-3. We have one more of these games against sub-300 teams against Kennesaw State coming up Sunday. Let's move on. The big news from this week, much more so than this game or Sunday's game, was the announcement of the renovations of Assembly Hall. Let me go with you first. I want to get your thoughts on this, Ryan, and I'll chime in with mine as a response to you. But give me your general thoughts. I know that you have some misgivings about what was announced, and I don't know if that deals with what the new name is going to be or what their plans for the actual renovations are.
I think that it's wonderful to get that gift. I think that Assembly Hall, if we're going to stick with Assembly Hall, there needed to be renovations made, obviously. It's not, in my opinion, an elite arena. I think that the changes will be nice. And, you know, of course you're excited for what they're going to do and to go visit it and everything. But my opinion is that $40 million to renovate Assembly Hall is a Band-Aid on a broken arm. I think that the arena, while the atmosphere is great for big games, that comes from the fans, not from the building. And I think that the building itself, I would venture to say about 40 to 50% of the seats have terrible views of the action. It's not an arena that is built to watch basketball. It was built to be, at the time, aesthetically pleasing. Whoever built it did not have basketball in mind. And while it gets very loud in there, I think that comes from the fans, not the building. And I think that Indiana fans deserve a better arena than Assembly Hall. I realize there's history there and everything, but there's history everywhere. There's history in every building. And the history really is the teams, not the building, and the program and not the building. And I think that moving in 2007, the Board of Trustees looked into it. I believe it was the Board of Trustees looked into it and decided they needed to build a new arena and modernize it, and that Indiana deserved an elite arena. I mean, when schools like Maryland and other places in Michigan State have elite arenas and Indiana doesn't, that's, to me, a sad state of affairs. I think it's one of the greatest atmospheres in college football. I think it's a mid-level building at best. And so I think that it's wonderful that we got this donation, that we've got, that they're going to try and upgrade it, but I just don't think Assembly Hall is as great as some people think. I think that it could be so much better. I think they could do an old-style field house where everybody has a good seat, where the views are great, where the students are on the floor, and it would be just as loud and just as great and could create just as much history as Assembly Hall and maybe even surpass it. So that's just my opinion. It's always been, well, let me just finish. That's always been my opinion about Assembly Hall. And I'm very excited for the university to have a chance to upgrade it, but at the same time, I don't think it's enough to make it where it needs to take it where it needs to be.
Says the guy who never took the finite final. okay, so let me just point out real quick the irony of your misspeak there, saying it's one of the best environments in college football as opposed to basketball.
You said
football. No, it's cool. So we just got a tweet from our buddy Tax Megan, who says, she quoted you, not an elite arena, and she says, dude, I'm a girl. The last several times I've been there, the toilets wouldn't flush. So, look, there are some things lacking at Assembly Hall. Apparently, toilets flushing. Okay, I didn't know that was a problem, but apparently it is. Sightlines there can be bad. I grew up going to games there with my dad, and we had great seats. As a student, I got, you know, I went all around the arena just like everybody else, sat up in the balcony, have had terrible seats, and there are some awful seats there. I understand that. But I will say this, okay? I spent this past weekend at Cowboys Stadium. Okay, I live in Dallas. I went to Cowboys Stadium for the first time. Was there and saw the epic comeback by the Green Bay Packers to beat Dallas. It is a beautiful facility. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's immaculate. Ryan, I don't know if you've been there. You know, I don't know how many
of our listeners
have been there. It is, you know, everything you've heard, just kind of multiply that by 10, you know, and it's, I mean, that's what it's like. I mean, it's truly immaculate. It's clean. It's an unbelievable structure. It's an unbelievable place. And all I kept thinking once I actually went to my seat to watch the game is this is a terrible place to watch football. Because it's just, I don't know, it's too clean. It's too comfortable. It's too stale. It's too sterile. It's too perfect, right? Perfect in quotes. And I think you go in there and it puts you in a certain mindset. And I think when you go into Assembly Hall with its ricketiness and its raggediness and its old school feel, say what you want about it, but there are ghosts that walk through those halls, the ghosts of champions past, the expectations of Banner's future. And I think if you move from that structure, call me crazy, I think you lose some of that. I think you sterilize the Indiana basketball experience. I think going into the place where the 76 team played and the 81 team played and where Calvert Chaney broke the scoring record, there's value in that. And I do think, you know, a lot of the advantage comes from the fans and how crazy they get. But I also think that just the way that the arena is set up and just, you know, the fact that, you know, I mean, you know, like Megan, you don't want to go to the bathroom because they don't work. So you stay there and you're on your feet cheering and you're maybe hopping around a little bit more. You're not comfortable. You know, you're up and you're just focused on the basketball. And that's the thing that I realized going to Cowboys Stadium. And I'm not saying that some new arena would be like Cowboys Stadium, but you know, hopefully you'll understand kind of the analogy I'm trying to draw here, that I think you can lose something. And I think when you have a place as special as Assembly Hall, man, you got to be really careful about going to something new, because I think you can lose some of the spirit and the energy of what makes the place great right now. And so for me, I was ecstatic when I heard about the fact, you know, yes, it needs updates. It needs upgrades. And so I'm excited about the fact that they are upgrading what's there. I'm really excited to see, you know, what they do, if they're able to add some seats, how they're able to improve the sight lines. Whatever you can do within those hallowed walls to make it a better experience for fans, do it. But do not knock down those hallowed walls. Those hallowed walls need to stay and house Indiana basketball. And as far as anybody who has a problem with the name, I do not. If it was, you know, and I've said this before, if it was the Farmers Insurance Assembly Hall, I'd have a huge problem with it. But it's the Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and Simon Scott represents an individual person who loves Indiana, went to Indiana, grew up going to games, gave this gift, and I think she's earned that right to have her name along Assembly Hall. And I think it's they're you know, like you know, I do agree with you, Ryan, that it needs upgrades and we need something like this. And the fact that she's willing to do it, put her name up there and be proud of it. This is one of our own whose name is up there. This isn't some faceless, soulless corporation. You know, this is a person who cheers as hard for Indiana as we do. So I have zero problem with it at all as far as the name goes. I'm going to take a breath now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the name. I think that that's just Fred Glass was talking tonight. That's just adapting to the world now. I mean, it absolutely is. I mean, you need some kind of, if not corporate sponsorship, you need some kind of influx of cash. And that's just the way things are done these days. It's about developing with the times and moving on with the times and things like that. So I have no problem with the name. And anybody who does, you're stuck in the past. That's just the way things are these days, and it's a reality that you have to face. As for the arena, they've also said that they're not going to change the seating bowl at all, which is a problem. I'm sorry. After the third row, the balcony seats are worthless. They really are. I mean, they either have bad views or completely obstructed, awful views. And I've sat all over that balcony. I've sat all over the lower bowl. And I don't understand why we don't – if you're going to do a refit or a renovation of the place – You need to knock out the two side walls and make it a complete bowl. I agree with you. I don't like stadiums that are brand new and perfect and everything is great. But you know what? This is college basketball. That feeling goes away as soon as the tip-off is off. If it's an intense arena with great student support, with great fan support and things like that. I mean, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, in my opinion, it's the perfect setup. It's just an old-style fieldhouse. Everybody has a good view. The students are right on the court. The intensity is there, things like that. Like, you know, I think that the atmosphere comes from the fans. And I think that there's a reason that, you know, Yankees games now at the new stadium aren't great. And it's because nobody can afford seats. It's not because it's a new building. And I think that, you know, you get those rowdy fans and you take them out of there, and that's what causes such a drop-off in intensity. That's never going to happen with students there. And I think that, I mean, it's a moot point now because they're going to have this arena for another 20 years at least, probably. But I just think it takes away from the experience so much when I've been at so many other arenas where the feeling is, you know, where you pay your money and you're going to see a basketball game, not just sit in an arena and not just be a part of an atmosphere. You can have – those things aren't mutually exclusive. You can have all of it. And I think that Indiana deserves better because of the tradition that was, you know, for most of the time developed at Assembly Hall, and that's wonderful. But it's a 42-year-old arena, and I think that if it were an old-school design that everybody agreed that there was great sight lines and it was fun to watch games, then there's no reason to get rid of it. But the problems aren't, you know, that it's old. The problems are the setup and the way it's arranged, and that's where the complaint is. And there's nothing to do with the building and all the history there and stuff like that and all of that stuff. I just think that the arrangement and the setup and the way it was planned are horrible. And you know, if you're going to do a renovation, fix the parts that are the biggest part of the problem. I mean, obviously, as Megan said, the toilets, apparently. I had no idea that was a problem, but those clearly need to be fixed.
Fix the damn toilets.
That should probably be, you know, job one, frankly. But, you know, I mean, there are the glaring problems aren't going to get fixed with this refit. And that's, you know, that's the part that's a bummer to me. I'd be all for keeping Assembly Hall if they changed the alignment and everything and made it more fan friendly, but they're not going to do that. And that's a problem. You're still going to have people in the balcony. You can't even see the game.
I guess here's the thing where we differ, you know, and there's a certain amount of sentiment versus sensibility here. And I hear what you're saying, and there are ways to, you know, improve the fan experience from a visual standpoint. But when I think back about the most memorable sporting events I've attended, and I've attended events, you know, being on the field all the way to having an almost totally obstructed view. Last year I went to the Ohio State-Purdue game where Purdue got up big, the football game. Purdue got up big, Ohio State comes back, you know, and we could barely see the field because we were tucked up in these seats way up there. But it's still one of the most memorable sporting experiences I've been to because you're kind of in there with these other people. You're all struggling to see the game, but it's like this shared experience, and it almost makes it more memorable. And, you know, maybe that's crazy to say, but I feel like that's part of the charm of college sports and some of these older arenas, you know, that it's got its own unique character, you know. And just like, you know, for IU fans, you know, for IU students, you know, you kind of talk about taking that finite final as a freshman and it's a shared experience. You also know about, you know, having your 4 years of tickets, and you have some games up in the balcony and some games down, you know, down on the floor. And I think, and I really think this, that part of the advantage and why the fans go so crazy and why our students are so nuts when they have floor tickets is because for two or three of the other games, they're stuck way up in the balcony. And like you said, you can't see, but I still remember games when I sat up in the balcony. And yeah, it's tough to follow the game, but you can see it and you're still having your own experience up there. And, you know, look, if you could tell me that you can, you know, make some of these updates and everything else is going to stay the same and the feeling is going to stay the same, I might hesitantly agree. But I like the fact that they are going to keep, you know, part of the soul of Assembly Hall is that some of the views are not good. And maybe I sound crazy saying that and thinking that that should stay the same, you know, and maybe I'm an old fuddy-duddy and old-fashioned and all those different things, but I don't know. To me, that's part of what makes Indiana basketball special is that tradition, and that's part of the tradition. And I'm just worried that if they start doing this, they're going to do that. And if they, you know, if you make it this full bowl, and if you, I don't know, if you do all these things, it's going to take away part of what makes Assembly Hall special. You know, a lot of schools say that their home arena is special. There's a few that really are. You know, you mentioned one of them, Phog Allen. Kansas is a very special place. You know, Cameron Indoor, Duke. You know, screw Duke, but whatever. You know, they have a good atmosphere. And Assembly Hall is right there. You know, we see it. We remember it every time they show the highlights of the Kentucky game. And I think that part of it is the structure itself. It is unique, and it's unique in bad ways, and it's unique in good ways, but it's ours. And I don't want to see it changed in that way. You know, and at a certain point, I'm sure we're going to get to a stalemate on this, and we may not necessarily agree on it. But I want them to keep what makes Assembly Hall special intact, the good and the bad, if you want to look at it that way. But those unique features, those idiosyncrasies, all that stuff, I don't think that they need to change, because I think if you start changing them, you might end up changing too much and you take away what makes the place so special. That's my fear.
I mean, yeah, I understand, and that's the thing, is I understand the viewpoint. I just disagree with it. And you know, maybe it's because I've been in so many other college basketball arenas that I feel like are so much better, and I think that Indiana deserves it better. That's all. And again, there's no doubting the atmosphere at Assembly Hall. There's obviously something special there. But I think that my opinion, maybe it's my opinion alone, I don't know, but I feel like that atmosphere comes from the fans and not from any special quirk about the building. And I think that would be anywhere. You could have IU basketball games in a barn, and it would be just as intense. So that's just my feeling. I wrote when I was the basketball columnist at IU for the IDS, I wrote the same thing. I said, I think that, you know, at times the building can be almost like a mausoleum because of the way that things are set up. I mean, half the students are in the balcony and not on the floor and close to the action. And that's gotten a little better, but it's still, you know, they want to put other people closer to the floor. And the seating arrangement is the problem. And I would like to see all those things change. If they could change all those things and keep Assembly Hall, I'd be all for it. But I just don't see that happening with the architecture of the building, and it's a bummer because, yeah, of course you want to preserve the history and all that stuff, but I just think that it could be better, and it's a relic of the 1970s when people were really into weird architecture instead of, you know, just making it conducive to basketball games, which is a bummer.
Yeah, well, Tax Megan is somewhat agreeing with you, so you're certainly not crazy. She actually said that I sound kind of crazy. She said, for what we have to pay for tickets, I'd like to see the damn game, and she's right. And the right answer for this, you know, we're somewhat, you know, arguing the polls here. The right answer is probably somewhere in the middle. And yes, I would like to see the experience improved and whatever you can do, but I think our big difference is, to me, you do whatever you can within those walls of Assembly Hall. You know, you keep that. There is a lot of value in that building, that structure, and you tear it down and move somewhere else, you know, and there is just no other way. Maybe that's our fundamental difference, you know, but otherwise, you know, do what you can to improve it, but you got to keep, you know, you got to keep Assembly Hall. I mean, I just, you know, I don't see any way that you can recreate what we have there in a new arena. It terrifies me, and I just, you know, and again, and maybe I'm letting my experience from the weekend at Cowboys Stadium, where I was so awed by the structure and so underwhelmed by the experience and the atmosphere, you know, because to me, you know, football, a game like that, Cowboys-Packers, that game should have been outside, it should have been cold, you should have been kind of uncomfortable, but you're cheering like crazy, and it's just this crazy atmosphere, and I guess, and maybe growing up in Assembly Hall makes you this way. You know, I just kind of feel like that with basketball too. You know, and I go to NBA arenas, I go to, you know, Mavericks games, and it's such a nice, clean, again, you know, kind of sterilized feel. But I just have a harder time getting into it. And so I guess I appreciate some of those little quirks. But, you know, and, you know, certainly, and I haven't been there, obviously, in 9-10 years now to have season tickets. And, you know, we have loyal fans like Megan who clearly want something improved. So there's, there's some wiggle room there, I think, and this is what I hope is going to happen, where they do make things better and improve some of those aspects that people really do not like, but keep what makes it special. You know, and I think we have the right people to do that. You know, I mean, Fred Glass understands what makes it special, and, you know, Cynthia Simon Scott understands what makes it special. And so I think the renovations are in good hands, and I'm confident that ultimately there, something will happen that will make you somewhat happy, me somewhat happy, and we'll all be pleased. But it'll be interesting. It, you know, it creates hot opinions for a reason, because so many great things have happened inside that arena, you know, and so it certainly can be better, but there's also certainly a faction that wants to keep what makes it special. So it'll be interesting to see what happens anyway, which is a really lame way to transition to you. But if you have any final thoughts on that, Ryan, I'll let you close that topic.
No, I think I agree with you in the aspect that, you know, you want to preserve it if you can. And I get that. And, you know, people have a huge attachment to that building because of the three championships and, you know, countless Big Ten championships and all the records, you know, set there and everything with the undefeated team and all that stuff. I just think that in a practical sense, we all deserve, you know, again, as Megan said, I didn't see that tweet, but, you know, you're paying pretty hefty price for tickets, and you'd like to be able to get a great view and watch the game and all that stuff. So that's my opinion on it. I realize, again, probably half the fan base doesn't agree with that and thinks that we should do whatever we can to keep Assembly Hall. But, you know, I think I just have always thought that Indiana could do better and have one of those, you know, newer great arenas like a place like Michigan State has or somewhere like that, and think that they could do it. But, you know, with this gift, I mean, like I said, it's a moot point because with this gift they're going to be stuck there for a long time anyway. So you'll be happy.
Yeah. Well, all right, good debate. I think what we'll do is let's table this discussion. Number one, we need someone to break the tie, so we need Andy here. And I'll be interested to get his thoughts. But this is a good way to segue into a little bit of a promotion for a special event that we have coming up. Indiana plays Kennesaw State on Sunday. We are not going to have a show. Got some holiday schedule snafus, and, you know, it's a couple days before Christmas. I don't think the audience will really be there, and it's, you know, it's a game that hopefully shouldn't be too exciting, although I just saw a tweet come through. Dustin's there with Crean, and he said, Kennesaw State's going to come in here and look like an SEC, Big Ten, or Big East type team. I'm assuming that's some Lou Holtzian over-promoting of the opponent, Kennesaw State. I think they were actually ranked lower than Nicholls State. Anyway, we're not doing a show after that game. Indiana's next game after that is Illinois on December 31st. Game starts at 3 Eastern, I believe. Between Christmas and that day, we're going to do a special edition assembly call, another Google Hangout, roundtable. Andy, Ryan, you'll be there. I'll be there. We've got to figure out the schedule, so I can't promote the day. Chronic Hoosier will be there. We're trying to get Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall on there. Galen Clavio of Crimson Cast. So it should be a big panel discussion. We're going to preview the Big Ten season for Indiana, and we'll also talk about this. This is a topic that will be discussed a lot. I'll be interested to get everybody else's thoughts. You know, I realize I've kind of had a old man get off my lawn kind of thought process on it here. But it'll be interesting to see what everybody kind of says about it, because it's, you're right, you know, people have really strong opinions about it. You know, Megan just brought up a great point that, you know, we have an unfair view of Assembly Hall because I had Coach Good seats, she had badass seats, our growing up experience is over. And she's right. She says, I agree, we don't need the hallowed ground that is, we don't leave the hallowed ground that is Assembly Hall, but the facility needs help. So, you know, the answer probably lies somewhere in the middle of what we've been talking about today, and so I'll be interested to get other people's thoughts on that. As soon as we have that to promote the date of it, we will tweet it at Assembly Call. We'll put it everywhere, and so we'll have that out there. With that said, Ryan, I think this is probably a good time to close things up for the evening, so I'll go over to you for final thoughts, and then I'll provide my own.
Yeah, I think that, again, it's just another example of a game this team has to get through. We really won't know as much about this team as we want to until Big Ten season starts. I think they battled hard in pretty much all of their preseason games. You know, the second half at Syracuse was a bit of a disaster. But at least in the first half, they battled hard. They played hard. They, you know, the effort was never a problem there. It was just the game plan. and executing it. And I think that their other two losses, they certainly played hard. It was just a matter of getting things right. This team dives on the floor as much as any Crean team. I think that's a signature of Crean. Those teams play very hard, even if they don't play smart at times and even if they are screwing up. I mean, since he first came here, these teams hustle, and I was impressed with their hustle tonight. Not so impressed with their turnovers, but hopefully that gets better. And, again, this is just another game where they did what they had to do. Don't put any bad losses on the record. Get to the conference season and make your statement there. So another just, these games, they just got to kind of get over the hump and get locked in for that Illinois game on New Year's Eve.
Yep, agree with you. We said it during the previous roundtable. We said after the Notre Dame game that we weren't going to learn much from these two games, so certainly there's no reason to overreact. I'll just reiterate. I liked what I saw from Yogi tonight. Liked what I saw from Jeremy Hollowell. Will Sheehy, I think, going forward, Jeremy Hollowell now needs to duplicate these performances that he's starting to string together against Indiana's lesser opponents and do it against some of the better ones. I had a thought tonight that some bar in Indiana should run a promotion, kind of like one of those promotions where drinks are free or like half price until the first person goes to the bathroom. Well, during Indiana games, they should run a similar promotion where they give a discount on drinks until the announcer mentions Jeremy Hollowell's talent, because it always comes out at some point. This guy has so much talent. He's got the ability. He can be the X factor, and we always hear that. And now it's time for him to start doing that, not just in games against Nicholls State, but in games against Illinois, in some of the tougher games. And so that's going to be really, really important for Indiana. And, again, I don't know that you can take a lot from tonight and project it forward, but at least, some guys struggled tonight. Noah struggled, Troy struggled, some of the young guys struggled. Nice to see Jeremy step up, play a good game, and now hopefully he can take the confidence from this, move forward, because we're certainly going to need him to produce come Big Ten season. All right, for everybody who listened live tonight, we appreciate you. Please make sure that you sign up for the email list, assemblycall.com/subscribe. We got some really fun things planned. You're going to want to be signed up for that once they start rolling out. We will also be able to email you about special events, roundtables, which we're going to start doing more of. We will have one between Christmas and December 31st, so just be ready. We're going to get it scheduled when as many people can be there as possible, and you'll be able to interact, ask questions. We'll have a panel of people who love IU and know a lot about IU to preview what this team is facing come the Big Ten season and also to discuss what they're capable of, because it's going to be season on the drink continues to be a very apt description of the 2013-14 season. And so we will take a look ahead when we do that show. Again, no show after Kennesaw State. Enjoy that game. Hopefully it's a nice, easy blowout. Enjoy the holidays with your family. Be safe. And we will talk to you again whenever we do that roundtable. So go Hoosiers. Happy holidays. And we will talk to you all soon.